Come on down, sir.
Mr. President, members of council, I will quickly update you on actions taken in the General Assembly over the last week regarding the bills that we're watching. House Bill 27, one bill that we're very interested in, passed the House unanimously on the 13th last week and has been assigned to the Finance Committee in the Senate, and I've been in contact with the committee chair, Senator McDowell, letting him know that we're very interested in seeing this bill through its adoption and signing into law by the governor, and he has assured me that I'll be noticed whenever this committee hears the bill. It will not be heard tomorrow, or at least it's not on their schedule for tomorrow, so I'm hoping that it will be on next Wednesday's committee schedule, because that will be, I think, the last committee day prior to the end of the session.
Right. And that did pass the House unanimously, didn't
it? Unanimously, yes, it did.
That's the farm thing.
No, that's the tax interceptor bill.
Oh, that's
to collect
one.
Our taxes and
very
school
good.
Taxes.
Very
yes.
Good.
I think the I think I understood that the bill sponsor has asked the Senate to put that on their must list.
Yes, it is.
Good.
Yes. And that's why I felt that with that effort from Representative Short and me working with the chairman of the committee, we have a kind of a two-pronged approach.
Thank you.
Other bills that you're interested in, I believe, are the raw milk bill, which has been released from committee. I did not see it on today's agenda, but I do expect that bill to be considered by the House this week, favorably, by my add. I think it, from what I've read from others who are interested in this bill, it seems to have enough support to be released,
really?
To be passed the House.
Really? Are we
it
saying,
does.
Are we
I think
saying,
so.
Did we say something on that bill? Did we, because it scares me. I don't.
Well, there have been comments about cautions, but I think that one of the things that has helped support the bill is the fact that this is not uncommon in other counties and other states to allow a farmer to sell his product from his property, provided he has a permit that allows him to do that, which ensures certain basic qualities in the product.
And safety?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I drink raw milk for 40-some years.
Right.
Raised on a dairy farm. And when a person drink raw milk, they knew they're drinking raw milk. If Joan doesn't want to drink raw milk, we would tell her, you don't have to buy our milk.
That's
you buy pasteurized. So I don't know where the hazard comes.
In some jurisdictions, raw milk is even available in retail stores. It's marked, it's identified that it's raw milk. It hasn't been pasteurized, but the pasteurization process, even in that process, as I understand it, doesn't ensure that all pathogens are eliminated, but most. So
I assure you, raw milk's not then diluted. I can assure you that.
I'm a crossover type of guy. I'm like between the urban dweller and the farmer, and all I can tell you is in the old days when the farmers only milked about 50 cows, they were clean, everything was done differently. Now when they're milking 500 to 1,000 cows, it's a whole different method. So I'd be worried. And I would want to know where my raw milk came from. Not just because it's raw milk means it's safe.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the...
The way they do it nowadays, Sam, it's scary.
I agree. It's your judgment. It's your call. If you don't want to deal with that farmer, you don't have to deal with it.
Sure.
Well, but I know.
Yeah, you better buy raw milk. Obviously, you can.
I understand. I understand. But
I've had raw milk, and it's delicious.
There you go. Mr. Godwin.
House Bill 95, this is a bill that allows the liens on property from DENREC has made the House ready list. I don't have a feel yet for whether or not it will pass, but it's on the ready list, not yet on the agenda. House Bill 135 is a bill that you last week gave me the direction to oppose this bill. I have done so. It is currently in the House Gaming and Paramutuals Committee where it has been tabled. But I have contacted all members of that committee to let them know of your resolve to oppose the bill. The bill has been tabled, and I asked them to notice me directly if it's ever released from their committee. Let's see. House Bill 78, which you had a few questions about last week, has been released from the Natural Resources Committee, and it stands on the House Ready List at this time. And I included copies of that bill in your package this past Friday so you could read it along with the amendment. The bill basically establishes a committee to analyze the maintenance and restoration of wetlands. And in the bill, you'll find the verbiage as to a committee that would be established of a number of different individuals who would serve to help find solutions to these problems. And the amendment that was offered a few days later adds, I think, 4 new members to the committee. So basically, this bill would provide for a committee to do a comprehensive analysis and turn that into the General Assembly by the end of next year.
Are we going to be represented on that committee?
Sussex County will be represented on that committee. I think there'll be an appointee made by the Delaware League of Local Governments for each county.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Not Rich Collins.
One other issue that I wanted to just go over with you again.
No,
we
Rich
mentioned
Collins.
This last week. There's a Senate resolution number 8 in the state Senate, and this resolution is simply to send a message to our congressional delegation in Washington, D.C., that would support House Resolution 129. In Congress, this resolution, again, it's not a code change or a law change, but the resolution, would be in support of an act to restore the Glass-Steagall Act of 1933, which required banks to separate their business and do commercial lending in one department and speculative banking processes in another department. In 1999, that act was removed, allowing the banks to cross over conventional mortgages with speculation, thus the bubble that we all went through a few years ago. So this resolution has been brought to us primarily by Senator Venables. He wants to see Senate Resolution number 8 passed through the Delaware Senate, which would then send a message on that the Delaware State Senate, with support of local governments, supports this House Resolution 129 in Congress to reestablish the Glass-Steagall Act. It's kind of a stretch, but I wanted to explain. I was asked again to explain this to you again. Quite frankly, I think what we should do, or what I would recommend, is that you might want to read in detail the Senate Resolution number 8 that Senator Venables is asking us to react to. You can get that online, or I think I put it in last week's package. But
it's not in this week's package?
No, it's not in this week's package, because I just got the message a couple days ago to ask you again for a decision on this. Again, it doesn't affect any law, except it is showing support from local governments for the reestablishment of this banking law, which is an old law from the 30s. But it was that law that required the banks to do business in a more, I guess it would be a more equity-based format.
And has it been proven that that's the reason we had the bubble, or is it just maybe one of the many things that could have caused the bubble, and we're not really sure
I guess I'm not
of
qualified.
The impact of it?
Yeah.
I would just say maybe our staff ought to look at it and come up, Todd, with a comment that you think, and see if we can endorse it,
okay,
as opposed to waiting for all 5 of us to sit here and comment on
it. I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned it to you again.
Because I know Todd's very familiar with the Glass-Steagall Act.
Yeah.
When we were talking about Wetland Committee and appointments, I'm very serious that it's not appropriate to appoint the director of the Positive Growth Alliance to represent the county.
Well, that appointment is from League of Local Governments, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it could be anybody. I mean, it's not necessarily from Sussex County.
I would believe that the League Executive Director would want a recommendation from you.
Okay.
I would think.
That's fine.
We can
do that. There's also a requirement to have a county employee on.
Right.
So there's going to be 2 representatives.
Someone from our planning department has to be in it, too.
Okay. But the person from the county, the League of Local Governments, could be from any entity in the county.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now you brought up things that are interesting to us today, right, like raw milk. Well, how about this another bill I think would be some interest to us? Is this bathroom bill?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with that.
You're not? It's supposed to be voted on today? You're not familiar with that?
No.
Transgender bill.
Oh.
About the bathroom.
I have not spent any time.
But the men will be allowed to use a lady's bathroom?
I did.
If he thinks he's a woman?
No.
That's not on there? You didn't know about that?
I've heard about it. I have not studied it. Mr. Wilson, I didn't think that it was necessarily county business is why I didn't.
I think it's county business because we have bathrooms.
Well, I'm just saying that was, I'm sorry, I haven't studied that bill.
I mean, we have toilets here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Do we think it's right for the men to walk in ladies just because they think they're a woman? They're allowed to put on a dress or skirt and say, I'm a woman walking in ladies' room? I think that would be some interest to this county.
I thought it was for schools.
It's for anything, buddy.
Is it?
It's even
all ages?
Even jails if they want to go there. It's going to be a state law.
Mr. Godwin, if you could research that bill and come back next Tuesday.
On that particular bill, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, because obviously you haven't done that today's week. It's not fair to ask you. But,
right.
If you haven't got the thing in front of you. So.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you didn't have that on the agenda.
They'd be dead.
Mr. Lawson, also, would you...
really?
Not that it's in your expertise necessarily, but if you would take the opportunity to review a little bit and come back next Tuesday with a thought on this Senate resolution and rate or something for Senator Venables.
Yes, we can do that. Thank you.
We could add a third bathroom.
There you go. What we will do now, I don't want to slight anybody, so we're going to revert back to administrator's report, Mr. Lawson.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll move to Rob Davis.
I'll make it quick. Thank you, Mr. President. Item number one for the county administrator's report, June 18th. Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee will meet on Wednesday, June 19th at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center at 6 p.m. Included with this report is a copy of the agenda for that meeting. The Sussex County Personnel Board is scheduled to meet on Thursday, June 20th, 2013, here in the council chambers at 9 a.m. A copy of the agenda for that meeting is also attached. The Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will hold a special planning meeting on Wednesday, June 26th at 10 a.m. at the Easter Seals Building at 22317 DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. During the meeting, the committee will continue to discuss the upcoming conference. And finally, yesterday, June 17, 2013, marked the fifth anniversary of the death of Sussex County paramedic Stephanie Calloway. As most of you know and remember, in the early mornings of the June 17, 2008 accident, Stephanie was tragically killed when the ambulance in which she was caring for a patient swerved to avoid a deer and struck a tree on Route 24. At the time of the accident, Stephanie was caring for her patient, 82-year-old Betty Jane Hall of Lewis, who was also killed in the crash. During her five-year career at SCEMS, Stephanie rose to the rank of paramedic 2 and served as a field training officer, public information officer, and a member of the Honor Guard. She was also president of the Sussex County Paramedic Association and an active member of the Lewis Fire Department. She was married to Steve and is survived by her two young sons, Matthew and Ryan. Stephanie, at age 31, had committed nearly half her life to public service, and she is still the only line-of-duty death of a paramedic in the state of Delaware. Our thoughts, prayers, and support go out to Stephanie's family and her extended EMS family as we reflect and remember on this, the fifth anniversary of her unfortunate and tragic death. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Rob Davis. Ocean View Beach Club.